Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The reading is taken from Mark 4, verses 21 to 34. As we continue our sermon series, You Are Not Your Own, James Hiddell reflects on the coming of the kingdom.
Our reading this morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 21 to 34, and includes three of the parables that Jesus shared with the crowds along the lakeside. The first one, a lamp on a stand. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them." The parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." And then the third parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks. Just pray quickly before I begin. Lord God, would you take my heart and make it yours, that you might take my words and make them yours, for the fame of your name and the furthering of your kingdom. Amen. Now, the title of our preaching theme this month is You Are Not Your Own. And we're following the Lord's Prayer, breaking it down into some of its individual lines and trying to unpack the meaning behind these very familiar words. 2 weeks ago, Dave talked about knowing God as a loving parent. And then last week, Fabian shared something of the holiness of God. And this week, I'm looking at the third line, the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is mentioned in the Bible and in church quite a lot, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's something we understand well. The reading that we've just had, there's three illustrations in it. And for the sake of not going on too long, I'm only really going to look at the last two. That's not to say that the first half of the reading isn't, there's lots to unpack there, but I'm going to be looking at two petite but profound images of what the kingdom is like. But before we look at those parables, as a bit of a prologue, I'd like to take a couple of minutes just to remind ourselves of the context in which Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer to his followers. We find this prayer in Matthew as part of the Sermon on the Mount, which takes up all of chapters 5, 6, and 7. So this preaching message comes very early in Jesus' teaching career, as Matthew records it. At this point, he's already started attracting a lot of attention through his teachings and healings, and the Sermon on the Mount is the first extended account of the kind of things Jesus taught. It was revolutionary. It is about completely rethinking what it means to follow God. Jesus turns much of the accepted teachings of the time on their head. He criticizes those who had traditionally been thought of as super religious, and he builds up those who were often looked down on in Jewish society of the time. One of the biggest things he appears to be trying to do in the Sermon on the Mount is to call out the hypocrisy that he saw in the religious elite. His message begins with the Beatitudes, and Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And after pronouncing blessing on the lowly and oppressed, Jesus goes on to highlight some of the ways in which strict interpretation of the Torah completely misses the heart of the God-given Hebrew law. Dealing with several examples for the rest of Matthew 5, he advocates for the most vulnerable people in his contemporary society: women, the poor, the weak. And he tells any wealthy male bullies who might be listening to him that no matter how much they think they've been keeping the law, they are completely missing the kingdom of God. Matthew 6 begins with Jesus calling out the prayers of the religious hypocrites. And then, as he addresses those who felt they were on the fringes of the faith, who thought they didn't have the necessary education or social standing to talk to God, he says, "You are so much closer to your heavenly Father than you think." And this is where we find the Lord's Prayer. It's like the final step that the marginalized in Jesus' community needed to follow to truly find themselves within the folds of God's kingdom. Now, that's not to say Jesus stops there. After he's given the Lord's Prayer, he goes on to rethink many more aspects of the faith in the rest of Matthew 6 and into chapter 7. But this prayer, the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of chapter 6, I think acts as a fulcrum around which the tone of the whole Sermon on the Mount pivots. It's like before the prayer, Jesus is almost aggressively deconstructing ways in which powerful people have oppressed the powerless. He's breaking down societal barriers that kept people out of the kingdom of God. Then with the Lord's Prayer, it's like he's flinging open the doors to the kingdom. And what follows after the prayer is like a tender yet authoritative invitation to step over the threshold and see what it's like in the kingdom of God. There's still plenty of guidance on how to live with one another from the middle of chapter 6 onwards, but it's much more about what to do rather than what not to do. And it's plain to see how doing these things will build a bright new world. So that's the context in which Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. Now let's go back to what Fabian actually asked me to preach about this week, the coming kingdom of God. What does that look like? What is the kingdom of God? Well, I think we've kind of begun to answer that already in our brief look at what Jesus said before and after his teaching his followers to pray for God's kingdom to come. The kingdom of God is countercultural. It's for everyone. It's equitable. And it's open now. In preparation for this talk, I looked at what a few others have said about the portrayal of the kingdom of God throughout the Bible. Some describe the kingdom as God's people in God's place under God's rule. Several said that the kingdom of God is basically what the entire Bible is about. Despite the fact that the kingdom of God is such a common theme throughout the Bible, it's really quite tricky to get any definable idea of what the kingdom of God looks like. But in reading the Bible, in immersing ourselves in the story of how Jesus came and changed everything, we can get a taste of what the kingdom feels like. The Bible is stuffed with how the kingdom feels. And the Sermon on the Mount is a beautiful glimpse at the difference that Jesus made and continues to make. The Sermon on the Mount was about rethinking what it means to follow God. The Lord's Prayer is about rethinking prayer, to keep it simple, not to make it a difficult, burdensome thing, and to make it about God and what he wants for his creation. That's what the kingdom is. And how does this kingdom come? How does it happen? And what effect does it have? Let's look again at the seed images in Mark 4. I'm going to show a video that illustrates the parable of the mustard seed much more. And immediately after that, I'd like to have a few younger volunteers from the children in the back to come and help give out some seeds. They're not mustard seeds because they're tiny. And they're not corn seeds, as we had in the parable of the growing seed. They're maple seeds, helicopter seeds. And I'll I'll go on to say a bit more about why, for me, these are wonderful illustrations of the kingdom of God. But yeah, first, while we're watching this video, if some of the children would like to come up, and I'll get some bowls of seeds ready for you to go out and give everyone. Everyone can have two or three. Everyone could probably have about 12. There's loads in here. But maybe just two or three, just as a tactile reminder of what I'm going to go on to talk about afterwards.
The mustard seed. There was once someone who did such amazing things and said such wonderful things and spoke about a kingdom. And one day the people asked him what the kingdom of heaven was like. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like, said Jesus. It's like a mustard seed. And then he went on to say something like this. A mustard seed isn't just a small seed. It isn't even a very little seed. You couldn't even call it a tiny seed. It's a teensy-weensy, itsy-bitsy, hardly visible at all seed. That's the mustard seed. But when you plant it, and water it, and weed it, and wait for it to grow, it springs up into a bush. Not a big bush, not a large bush, not a huge bush, but a great, enormous, gigantic, bushy bush. That's the mustard bush. It grows so big, in fact, that all the birds of the air find a home in its branches. The tiny little hummingbirds, the slightly bigger sparrows, the roosters, the rooks, the parrots, the hawks, the doves, the geese, the ducks, and the great big golden eagles. All of them are welcome. All find a home in the mustard bush, grown from the tiny mustard seed. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like.
So the children can come round and just, if you will just take a pot, maybe some of the bigger ones you might need to have one between two. So you just take a pot, and if you just go around the congregation, if you could just make sure everyone's got at least one. If people want two or three, then that's totally fine. And just, I just want you to kind of hold it while I'm going to say a little bit more. And sometimes I find just doing something with your hands, just holding something helps process things that you hear and that you see. But it will be, I will say a bit more about maple seed specifically for me a bit later as well. So the two pictures of growing seeds, the corn and the mustard seed that we have in Matthew 4, speak of the dynamism of the kingdom. The kingdom isn't just the tree or bush that the seed will become in the end. Jesus says the kingdom is the seed. The whole plant at every stage of its growing life represents the kingdom. The kingdom of God is always growing, spreading, and reaching out into the world. The kingdom of God is here and now, and yet it is still to come. It will in the future be so much more glorious than it is now. We as the church are like an enclave of the kingdom to come in the here and now. We're like a seedling. We are somewhere between a seed and the fully grown plant. I don't think it's too important to know exactly where along that line we are as kingdom citizens. Just know that we are growing, that we are being grown by God. The kingdom of God is greater than it was, but there's so much more greatness yet to come, and the same can be said of us as individuals and as the church, locally and globally. The other, probably more subtle thing to take away from these pictures of the kingdom is that once it is planted, the seed largely grows on its own. And I was reminded as I was preparing for this of a talk that Nick gave probably 2 or 3 years ago now, and I think it was a harvest talk, and he brought in a big, quite impressive pumpkin that he had grown on his allotment, and he broke down how much time he had spent planting it, watering it, weeding it. He added it all up, and it was quite a lot. But when he then added up the amount of sunshine that had been poured on that plant, the amount of rain that had fallen on it, he kind of had these two sides of a scale as to how much he had done and how much God had done. And what God had done was considerably more when you add up all the sun and the rain and just what the design that had gone into the seed in the first place. It's God's work to grow the kingdom in us, individually and collectively and in the world around us. But by the presence of Jesus in us and the work of the Holy Spirit through us, we are called to be co-actors with Christ. That's what the second part of the Sermon on the Mount is about, making the kingdom of God a reality through personal transformation and through that, societal transformation. That is what God's story in the Bible is all about, and that is what Jesus came to do. That is what God and we as his people are here to do in the world today. And perhaps the reality of that in our day-to-day lives doesn't always seem that glorious. But when we truly get a taste of it, it is magnificent. And in the age to come, the kingdom will no longer be something that has broken in here or there. It will be a total revolution. Think of the good news from Revelation 11, verse 15. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's what's coming. The kingdom of God is the heavenly world breaking into our earthly existence. The kingdom is already and not yet. It is present and future. It's like the sun in the sky breaking through the clouds when the rain hasn't yet fully passed. And the brightness of the sun is not yet all that it will be in the future. And I want to finish with one final point. We can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking of the kingdom as something we go to at the end of our lives. I don't know, but perhaps this stems from an overemphasis on the not yetness of the kingdom. But it's clear that the kingdom is very much here and now too. The dynamic movement in the furthering of that kingdom is a growth of the kingdom of God into our world. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." He taught us to expect the kingdom of God to infiltrate and beautify this world. Do not think of the kingdom as a realm to which we are going as much as a reality that is coming to us. The Sermon on the Mount is about rethinking what it means to follow God. The Lord's Prayer is about how to rethink prayer, to keep it simple, to not make it a difficult, burdensome thing, and to make it about God and what he wants for his creation. That is what the kingdom is. It is his reign and rule, God's redemptive presence coming down from heaven to earth. Just going back to the maple seeds to finish. Jesus always used parables that meant something to the people of his time. And for me, these seeds really represent the kingdom. I'm lucky enough to work in a nursery, a children's nursery, not a plant nursery. But in that children's nursery, we do have a lot of plants. We have all sorts of trees. We have a lot of apple trees. We have a lot of all sorts of trees. Lots of pine cones are readily available. But there's lots of maple seeds. There's lots of sycamore seeds and smaller maple trees as well. And one of my favorite activities to do with the children is simply to go around picking up the seeds and throwing them into the air. And it's a really wonderful thing to see their reaction when you do this. They'll literally just run around, trying to get under them as they fall, trying to catch them, and then gathering them up, or more often getting me to gather them up again, and asking for more, asking me to do it again. And that is what we need to be like with the kingdom of God. We need to rejoice in it. I've got loads more. And I'll help tidy them up as well at the end before anyone feels like they need to. We need to rejoice in the kingdom of God coming down from heaven. We need to run around trying to catch it, trying to get wherever it is that it's coming to the ground. We need to let it fall on our faces. We need to catch it in our hands. And we need to ask for more. That's how we need to be with it about the kingdom of God. It's not so much important to define exactly what it looks like, because it will look like all sorts of different things in all sorts of different places to all sorts of different people. But it's good. It's very, very good. And we need to seek it. Let's just pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Lord God, your kingdom come in our hearts. Your kingdom come in our lives. Your kingdom come in all our interactions that we have with people around us. Your kingdom come in this church, in this town, and in this world, Lord. We bless you for the work you do, for the change you make. Lord God, would you open our eyes to what it is you're doing, and would you inspire us to come and get involved with you. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.